Tonight, I want to deal with a thought that God gave me this morning. And as I begin to study today and prepare, I want to deal with 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. It sure is good to see you here tonight, and I appreciate that. Please pray for our service this Sunday as God continues to move and save those that are lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. Bible said, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we as some others? Epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you. Verse 2, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Thank you for standing tonight, of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 2, he said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I want to deal with this thought tonight, our daily pages. Our daily pages. Or we are an open book. Isn't it amazing that the pages that we portray to people in our life every day? Matter of fact, we are an open book. I wonder what kind of page that people read on me and you today. I wonder what they seen as we got up and we started into our daily routine. And now we find ourselves in the house of God tonight. I wonder what they've seen in this open book today. I've said a lot of times, people may not go to church, but they see you. They see you as the only gospel that they know. You may be the only gospel they ever hear. But certainly tonight we have a great, great opportunity. We have great responsibilities as a child of God to look like God's youngins, to act like God's youngins. Oh my, whether you agree with me tonight, don't change the fact. And it doesn't matter if me and you like it or not. I don't like people watching me, but I know they're watching me everywhere I go. I've never liked nobody looking over me, but I know everybody's looking over me. And so whether you and I like it or not, we are an open book and people are looking. Now, I want to deal with four aspects of a book tonight. As I sat there in my study, I began to look at the volumes of books that I have in a cabinet. And I began to think, first of all, there is a identity of a book. How does the book identify? How do you identify a book? The identity of the book. First of all, I noticed something about every book in my library on the shelf. Everyone had a title. And I'm going to tell you tonight, our name is very important. In Proverbs chapter number 22, and I want you to mark this if you don't have it, but in Proverbs 22 and verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. Now tonight, we see this identity of the book. It is a title. We all have a title. A lot of people knows our name. They know where we go to church. They know where we live. They know who we're married to. They know who our children are. They know who our parents are. The identity of a book. It is titled. And I want to say something about our name. Our name better be guarded as a child of God. It's amazing at the things that I've turned down for the sake of just keeping my name where it ought to be. And I'm going to tell you, as the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church, my name is very important to me. And I know it's very important to you. And I know it's very important to God. You say, well, you think a lot of yourself. No, I'm just saying the pastor plays a very important role down at the Baptist Church. I know some men, Brother David, Brother Tim, they're known for their women and their politic and their name can go out in the community and they say, well, they're a womanizer. I'm glad my name goes out. They say he's one of them fire-breathing preachers. Means something to me, Brother David.
And so our name is very important. I don't want to be caught up. And if it's anything, God help me. I've said 1,000 times to my young preachers, God, before I'd ever fall, bury me. Let me drop gun barrel dead. Let me die before I would give my Lord a reproach on His name or the name of Liberty Baptist Church. Everybody in the community said, well, you know, he's too hard. I know probably I am, but I done found this, honey. You ever go to moving one standard and they'll take 2 miles. You go to letting a building go to leaning a little bit for long, honey, she'll be on the ground. You give an inch, he'll take a mile. And so the only thing I know to do is to try to be what God wants us to be. And our name is very important. I don't want to be known as a shamster, as a trickster. I don't want to be a man known as a double tongue. Well, he'll do this for this family, but he won't do it for that family. Or he'll do it for this child, but he won't do it for his other child. I just want to be the same thing every day I get up for the glory of God and try to trust Him and stay in His Word and keep my part clean and do what I can do for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Name is very important to me. The identity of a book. I noticed that each one has a title. Everybody here has a title. And then, also about this identity of this book, not only is it titled, but I noticed a lot of my books was torn. And I tell you why it was torn, because they've been used. They were torn because of experience. They just were not sitting on a shelf. I noticed probably one of my most precious books in my library. It's out of print now. It's by the Gospel of John by Arthur Pink. It's an amazing how some authors speak to you and some authors don't speak to you. I got to noticing about my books that a lot of those books that I've used, the covers are torn. And there's some books sitting there, honey, it looks like it just come from the publisher. How come? Because it's been used. You know how come some of you sort of look tore down tonight? Because you got some experience. Thank God for it. Amen. Now let me ask you something. If you was going to put up a pasture fence, you was going to string barbed wire, and you see no fella come up and he has scars all over his arms, had on a pair of old Brogan shoes, and he had on blue jeans, had rips in them. Old hat about wore out, had a big sweatband all the way around his hat. Walked up to you, and then in come in this little old feller, and he's dressed up real pretty like he's headed down to the tennis court. I wonder which one of them fellers you'd want to help you do the fencing that day. I won't tell you tonight, honey, I thank God for some of these old book covers around here that look a little torn, a little bit ragged, and have read some things in their life. They didn't throw the towel in. They've been through one storm after another storm, and thank God I can look at that book cover tonight, get some help for my life, and they can turn around and say, well, preacher, it happened to me, or it happened to one of my young'uns, you'll get through it. It happened to my wife, you'll get through it. Why, preacher, it happened to me, you get through it. Thank God for some book covers that's been used for the glory of God tonight. The identity of the book. I noticed not only were they titled and tore, but I noticed some of it was tarnished. Here's a little book on Revelation that I've used a lot, probably about 20-year-old. I guess one of the first years I started preaching, I bought this book, and man, I mean, nearly all the ink's gone off the outside, and I know one time it looked pretty good. But it was faded out tonight. Tarnished. And ain't it amazing how many times in our life that, boy, we look at the cover of the book and we think, my goodness, that thing has been run through the mill. That thing has been really used. And I got to know some about these books. Have you noticed the difference in them? One is thick and it's a big volume. The other won't take you too long to read. But I got to thinking about that. You know, that's just because the one that wrote on it was done with the story in this book. He had a little more to tell in this book. And can I tell you, we don't know how long our life's going to be here, but you can be sure one thing, honey. He's a writing a book. And folks is a reading that book. You may have a long life, you may have a short life, but you be sure it's going to be read by everybody around you. And all this identity of the book, its title, it's torn, and it's tarnished. You know, if it's tarnished, it means that someone else is benefiting from it. You know, thank God for people that's got some scars on them. Thank God for that. You know, I'm sorry, I like all people, but I especially like them rough ones that get saved. I mean, I can relate to where they was, where nobody else wanted them or think it was no hope for them. And you know, churches has got so churchy now that they think that you've got to be sort of to do this or do there to belong or come. I thank God tonight that we just sinners saved by the grace of God. And it's no biggins and it's no littlins. I just thank the Lord for some book covers around here that has touched my life and I've read some great, great biographies out of. I thank the Lord tonight for the identity of the book. But then, secondly, not only the identity of the book, but what's the intention of the book? Well, what would be the intention of the writer of this book? I wonder, the man now, I get to thinking, the Hendersons called me the other day and they said, Brother Ken said, we just wondered, Could we take a lot of your sermon notebooks and type all them out for you and number them and put them all in order for you and bind them in a big binder? And I said, well, yeah, I would love for you to do that. And I got to thinking just the time they're going to have in that. And then I got to thinking about the time that it took to prepare those. And then I get to thinking about how long it took a man to write a book like this. And I get to thinking how long it'd take a man just to write a short book like this. And then I get to thinking, what was the intention of the writer for the book? Not to set in the shelf. But I believe his intention was that the book would be sent. Aren't you glad that God is in the book sending business? Boy, I wonder where we'd be tonight if God hadn't sent us an open book to impress us in our life going through this old world. There's some men of God that have so impressed me by their open book of their life. Brother Monroe Wiggins, one of my greatest heroes, and he probably don't even know that. That old man used to thrill my heart seeing him preaching. I mean, I loved his authority he preached with. Buddy, I'd love to see him turn loose on some of these drama clubs tonight. When he, Brother Tim, he's about 45. I'd love to see his hammer back on some of this crowd going on tonight. He'd make your preacher look like Mickey Mouse some Sundays. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, friend, the intention of the book, the author intended it to be sent. God has sent you to somebody. You say, preacher, you won't believe where I work. Preacher, you won't believe the crowd I'm dealing with. Oh, yeah, I would too. Because he said, we are a light set on a hillside, a city that cannot be hid. And you know, just the least little light goes a long way in great darkness. But the intention of that book is sent. In Acts 13 and verse number 1, let's notice this, Acts 13 and verse number 1. I want you to see this sent. I'm so glad God's in the sending business. Now there were in the church, there was Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas, Simon, was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, I didn't know he could talk, preacher. Oh, he's still speaking loud and clear tonight. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. What's your point, preacher? The intention of the book is that it is sent. God has sent people in our lives to help us. God has sent you into people's lives to help it. A lot of you have been sent in my life to help me. Volumes and volumes and volumes.
And I meet a new volume nearly every week at some place. Somebody that so impacts and touches my life. I hear something of how they've come through a struggle or a fire or a great persecution. And I'm amazed at how God has used them to touch my life. The intention is that, not that He'd write this book and just put you on a shelf, but God's intention for our life is to be sent out and be a blessing to others, to let a light shine to a dark and a dying world. God don't want us up there in a pantry in a bookstore. God wants us in the field. His intention is to send us. And not only is that intention of the book to be sent, but it is also to be seen or read. Now, I loved what this writer had to say today. He said, a good writer, when pressed, can write on very unpromising materials. It's not the kind of paper, but the writing which men are anxious to see. In other words, ain't it amazing how God wrote on some of us that didn't look like much? But I've never known somebody just to buy the book because the paper in it was pretty. If you did, you need a job. You ought to be buying it for what you can get out of it. I'd be riding down the road sometime, and I can get a thought, and I say, honey, give me something to write with. She's saying, oh, well, give me that paper cup. Give me a napkin. Just write. Any of y'all ever wrote on your hand? I know you did, because y'all a bunch of cheaters in school. I can tell you wrote on your hand. But ain't it amazing that a good writer, when pressed, can write on very unpromising material? Would you ever thought he'd have wrote something on you? Would you ever in your last days thought God would have wrote something on you to impact somebody else? The intention of the writer is that it would be seen or it would be read. My mind, Acts 17 and verse number 5. I love this thought tonight. Acts 17 and verse number 5. The Bible said, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took of them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, who in the world would have ever thought that God would have just took old common fishermen and wrote on their lives that they would be read by me and you? I'm talking about the kind of paper that which not many people would pick to write on. But boy, aren't you glad God has wrote on some material that nobody else wanted. But He sent you a message through them. I thank God for those that seems like nobody else could help them. They had no hope. But Jesus could help them. Jesus was their hope. And He pinned it down. You know, it does me good to think of the intention of the book, that it is sent, and it's to be read, it's to be seen. But then, it's also to be studied. Studied. You know, it's amazing how people watch you. In Acts 4 and verse number 13, the intention of the book is not only to be sent and seen, but also to be studied. In Acts 4 and verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they was unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, the Lord loves to use people so He can get all the credit for it. I've noticed that in this ministry. I mean, you can look around here and to God be the glory for it all. It's been amazing what God's done at this place. God loves to get the credit. I mean, would you ever thought growing up that God would use you the way He's using you tonight? Would you have ever thought? And this is the thing about people are studying me and you, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they acknowledged that they knew they had been with Jesus. My, what a What a thought tonight of how people study our lives. And let me tell you something. People are studying us. You know how much, you know how in depth they study you? Did you know there's children here in this church studies me? These two boys got their britches smoked because they went home and got a razor and tried to get a haircut like their preacher. They watching you. They watching me. I went to a preacher's meeting the other night. The big boy, you remember, other Sunday night, Brother Ray, big fella, he got up and preached a few words, such a blessing. He'd just been announced his call to preach about too much. Brother Ray hadn't got nothing. So he went and got him a pair of shoes. They said, well, what kind of shoes you want? He said, well, I want them wingtip shoes. He said, why you want them wingtip shoes? He said, because Brother Ken wears wingtip shoes preaching. He says, work for him, got to work for me. I don't know about the wingtip shoes, but I'm telling you one thing, honey. People's watching me and you. They're watching us. And you know what? They're doing what we're doing. Brother Jamie preached one of the best messages I ever heard here at the preacher's meeting last month about the congregation is the flavor of the pastor. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. You got people at your job, they're all eyes on you. All eyes on you. They're watching every move that you make. You know something? We better watch what they're reading. The identity of the book, the intention of the book. Thirdly, what about the information of the book? Information of the book. Well, the Lord give me this. There's pages. And on these pages, we type a story. Pages of this book, pages in our life. We're typing a story out that people can read. You ever lost your temper? And y'all ever got any problems with temper? It's amazing what temper can do to a man. It's amazing what this flesh can do. Just like that. But you see, this information of the book, we're giving out information in our lives every day. Every day we live, we're giving information out. The pages type a story. 1 Thessalonians 5 now. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse number 1. We're talking about the information of the book. The pages type a story. By the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, us, we that are saved, you're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, they're drunken in the night. But let us, who are the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or encourage one another, even as also you do. Now watch your Bibles. Talking about the information of the book, the pages type a story. What are we typing in our life? What's our pages showing people? Here it is. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded or the always discouraged. Support the weak. Be patient. My goodness, I wish that had run up on that. Toward all men. Now, here's something. It goes against my reason. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. You know what our first nature is? To get back. To lash back. To get even. Matter of fact, I was brought up, don't get even. You get ahead, buddy. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, my, and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Now, I'm talking about the information of the book. I'm talking about the pages, that type of story. What are they reading about us? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, when bad things start happening, we think, well, God don't love us no more. But they're there for our good. We ought to love Him and trust Him. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. And it's hard to say, thank you, Lord, my power bill ain't paid. I know that. Lord, I'm short this month. Hallelujah. He says, thank Him. He's working it out for our good. Preacher, that don't add up my math. I'm going to tell you right now, in this thing of Christian living, your math and God's math ain't the same. He loves to decrease. And by that, give you more than you've ever had. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Here it is, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain. Play with fire, you're going to get burned. Your flesh can't handle it. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I've got no use walking into the beer joint to hand out tracts. I've got no use being in places where the devil can lay a trap for me, and neither do you. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And if we'll get that in our heart, we'll be better people for the cause of Christ. Abstain. That word means to hold oneself off. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, the intention of the book. I said that the information of the book, the pages type of story, but I want to say this. The pictures tell a story. In this information, pages type a story. But I won't say pictures tell a story. Boy, pictures worth a thousand words, ain't they? You ever heard this, monkey see, monkey do? Men may refuse to listen to the gospel, but they cannot ignore the testimony of a consistent Christian life. Read it again. Men may refuse to listen to the gospel, but they cannot ignore the testimony of a consistent Christian life. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We'll be closing down. Titus 2. Talking about this book read by all men. Somebody told me this week, he said, you know, Brother Ken, he said, when I was a lost man and I'd go down and party, there's people there that belonged to a church that was there partying more than I was partying. This boy had never heard no preaching. He'd never been in no church, no place. He knew nothing about Jesus saved. He knew nothing about the Word goes out, the Holy Spirit convicts man's heart, in return he throws his hands to Christ and says, saves me a sinner, and a new life happens as the Spirit of God makes the abode in their life. He knew nothing about that. All he knew was there was church people sat on the boards and leadership in church out there just as drunk as he was. That's all he knows. Picture tells a thousand stories, don't it? So what's your point? This is my point. Be a Christian, take your sign down. Pretty easy. Man told me that one time several years ago. I didn't like what he said, but it's the truth. The information of the book, the pages type a story, the pictures tell a story. Now, Titus 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men, that's just not older people, that's those that are spiritually mature, that the aged men be sober and grave, that's honest, temperate, that's self-control, sound in faith, not wishy-washy, in charity, love, in patience, waiting. The aged women likewise, said it ain't. No cop out there neither. Same way. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Young ladies are watching you. They're watching how you dress. They're watching how you respond. They're watching how you love your husband. How you raise your children. They're watching everything about you. Men, young boys are watching us. Watching how we dress, how we act, how we respond, and how we do. They're watching us. You think them little young'uns toting that money up in that plate ain't watching you? It dawned on me really just how much they was watching me. One went and gapped his hair. They watching. So we see, being behaviors becometh holiness. Let me ask you something. How do you respond in heated situations? Anybody can lose their temper and act crazy. Ain't we not going to pray? Quit looking down. Ain't time to pray yet. People's looking. That we're being behaviors becometh holiness. Well, my feelings is hurt. Why? You're a baby. Babies get their feelings hurt. I got my toy away from me. We'll get it back. Not false accusers. We better watch what we say. You better get all the story. You heard about so-and-so? I'm not... How many times you heard this? I'm not supposed to tell this. Help me, Brother David. Help me, Brother Tim. Not supposed to tell this. Did y'all hear about so-and-so? Do you know all the story? Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You ought not be talking hateful about your husband in front of other people. If you've got an issue with your husband, you need to talk with him about it. Same way, men with ladies. Y'all not be talking to other people about how bad your wife is. Talk to her about it. Talk to God about it. You get them, you show disrespect to them in front of a crowd, it won't never get no better. To love their children. Let me tell you something. If you love your young'uns, you're disciplined. And if you let them tear the rag off the bush, you don't love them. It takes mom and daddies to love their children to make them do right. This world's just turned their young'uns loose. They've listened to tree huggers. You're going to warp them. Didn't warp my young'uns. Might have warped their backside a few nights. Love their children. To be discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise. Exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Talking about not only the pages type a story, the pictures tell a story. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Showing thyself a pattern of good work. It's easy to talk the walk. A little difference in walking that talk, ain't it? He didn't say nothing about telling folks. How many times you heard this? Well, don't do as I do. Do as I say do. That's bad theology. That's role models, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. If we don't get back to having role models in the house of God, it's unbelievable. Now, wrestlers are role models. Michael Jordan's are role models. Thugs. Thugs. What happened to people at the house of God? What's wrong with you youngins having a hero here? Young men exhort to be so. In all things, showing thyself a pattern, a pattern, a pattern. Not a hit and miss, a pattern. Discipline. Discipline. Young men, you to be the leader of your home. You're going to stand in account before God's judgment day for your home. Not your neighbor. You are. Showing yourself a good pattern. Not hit or miss, church. Get discipline in your life. Not hit or miss reading your Bible. Get discipline. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. Let me ask you, if you get a chance to cheat, don't cheat. You're going to get caught. What goes around comes around. The wages of sin is death. And buddy, you better believe it. If you sin, there's a payday coming for it. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I want to say something, young men. If I had a couple things to do over again raising my children, you know what I'd do? I would beg God to let me not be so self-centered. I would beg God to let me be with my children more than I was. Because I made excuses. But at the end of the day, they were still an excuse. Them young'uns today's on your toes. For long, they're going to be on your heart. Amen. And I don't know why we let the baby away with anything. That first one we'll beat to death. And that second one, you don't care if they tear the house down. Why is that? We need more discipline in our life. Man, I feel rocks being thrown at me tonight. Telling the truth. What's fair for the goose is fair for the gander. They're going to be what we are, and they're going to do what we do. And if you raise them up to hit miss church the way you do, that's what they're going to do. And if you teach them, where's my Bible, honey, Sunday morning, ain't seen it all week, they're not going to know where their Bible is come Sunday. Pictures tell a story. If I had to do over, I'd spend more time with young'uns, more quality time. Quality time. My kids are grown. Kept my grandbaby while I see them, thank God. So I'll close. Identity of the book. It's cover. Cover is important. You know, a lot of people said this. I asked my wife, I said, honey, it's an old cliche. I'm trying to think where it is. I said, what's that about the cover? She said, the book ain't known by its cover. But that ain't in the Bible. We ought to look like a decent cover. We ought to not have our head full of earrings and piercing. Looking like a bunch of rebellious teenagers. We're examples for Christ. We ought to look that way wherever we go. You know, I went down to a funeral home. Went to the funeral home. I seen a man my age. You know what he's in? Shorts. At the funeral home. And then I went by the church and I seen him going into church with the shorts on. It ain't happening here. You go to letting them lean one way, honey, they'll be in a bikini next Sunday. You can't give people rope. You just can't. You come off standards one way, they just go do it anyway. And this thing about, they don't think nothing about it, they just do it. I seen that man walk in, so disrespectful, funeral home, walking like he's going down to Daytona Beach. I said, I want to walk up so bad. I said, what is your problem? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. People is looking at the cover. Matter of fact, I can tell you one thing. I bought more books cost the cover than the content. Cover got my eye. We better watch what we're doing. They watching. I didn't mean kill a meeting. We need to be careful. Daily pages. The identity of the book, the intention of the book is to be sent, seen, studied. They're looking at us. Information of the book. What are we telling people? What are we say anything about Jesus, our church? Our fellowship, our love for Christ, our forgiveness. We telling anybody about that, or we just telling about how bad everything is? You ever got around, everybody's just doom and gloom, and you just, I mean, when they call your cell phone, you say, oh my Lord, I've got to answer that. You know when you answer, you're going to feel a lot worse, Brother Joe, than when you answered. He said, give thanks. Thank Him. Praise Him. Be a blessing. The identity of the book, the intention of the book, the information of the book, but then the impact of the book. I wonder how many of you have ever been impacted by reading a book. Buddy, this book's impacted me. I can tell you another thing, a lot of you's impacted me. Brother David's not a lot older than me. Brother David started in the homes with me. You know, Brother Randall, Brother David, just give me a little old something that's helped me. And Brother Randall, you've throwed little things out through the years. It's just, you've helped me. Brother Gerald, you told me something one Sunday morning. Something was bothering me, and you said, well, if it ain't bothering God, why is it bothering you? Brother Mike, you've given me thoughts. And there's some dear saints of God in this church. It's amazing to me how the young people bless me. Little old kids that don't short book. Boy, don't they preach volumes. Brother Tim got us a bucket made for Sunday. For the little young'uns. Teaching children the gift of giving. Man, they walk up these aisles, go to throw in that little change in that bucket. Well, it ain't what they're giving making my heart go flipped.
It's the principle. Little book, so impactful.
They're reading us tonight, folks.
We better be careful the message we tell them through it.
Hey, Sherry, I want you to come tonight. We got time. We're going to take time. I want you to play something softly for me tonight. You know something, most of the time, too, when you think you ain't doing, when you think you're doing the least, you're doing the most for Christ a lot of times. Yeah.